Hey everyone, welcome to the latest episode of Techish, featuring your two hosts, Avidesi
and Michael Behane.
We got a lot to cover in this episode. It's going to be a short one, a quick one, but just before I forget, don't forget you can always support us on Patreon.
Monies.
Patreon.com/techish. And if you'd like to get involved in today's discussions, use hashtag techish on Twitter because we check that and we always answer back, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We're watching.
All right.
In a non-creepy way.
Hey everyone, just want to thank this week's sponsor, Wonolo.com. They are an on-demand staffing platform and they are looking for a mobile technical lead. You'll be managing developers and working across both iOS and Android. I've put the job description in the show notes. The role's based out in San Francisco, so please have an application if it sounds like a fit for you. And yeah, good luck.
I'm going to start with this crazy story that you pointed out to me. It was on Twitter originally. A tech conference event meetup in Italy.
Yeah.
A photo went viral. It's a photo of the tech titans that had met up at this event featuring...
I think Reid Hoffman was there. A few other of the who's who, like, in tech.
Who's who.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of old white dudes, tech leaders, and they're in this picture, and then, like, there's two women in the picture, bearing in mind there's, like, 15 dudes, but somebody noticed the women looked a bit strange. And
Something
was amiss, and they did a bit of, like, detective work, and they realized that the women were photoshopped into the picture. So...
Oh, my God. Where do I begin?
Yeah, I mean, I think someone said, like, Photoshop, let be the change that you want to see in the world, so let's not even bother with actual, like, you know, making change. Let's Photoshop the change in.
Why stop at women? Could have photoshopped some black people in, a disabled person, a breastfeeding woman.
Why not?
Someone in a wheelchair.
Apparently, though, the women were at attendance, right, of the actual event, but they weren't in the picture taken.
Oh, right.
So they were like, oh my days, we didn't get a picture with the women, so we look really bad. How do we rectify this? Let's Photoshop this. I'm just like, bruh, like, if the women... you know what? Is there an element, though, where this represents progress, where people are so embarrassed now that they won't even just present the picture? Because I think 10 years ago, that this wouldn't have happened because they would have just done the picture and be like, yeah, and what?
Been like, whatevs.
Yeah, but it's still a long road to go. But, like, do you see what I'm saying?
This is what's disturbing. One, that someone came up with the idea. Two, that other people agreed. And then three, that someone actually went ahead and did it.
Yeah, apparently. So all the CEOs in the picture... co-signed it. Not the Photoshop thing, but they looked at the picture and said, I approve for this to go online.
That lies. Yes,
apparently. No, if you read the article,
I swear Reid Hoffman. Reid Hoffman did
except
not agree.
Except for Jeff Bezos. And there's a reason why he's the richest man in the world, because he knew.
He was like, nah,
I'm not involved. So everybody be like Jeff, not in always, but like in this way. If you see a picture where there's women photoshopped in to make it look like it's more inclusive, just say, I'm not involved.
I'm out.
So the story, other story I want to talk about is a bit of a random one. So we're all familiar with DJ Khaled, isn't it? So he had an album come out recently.
DJ Khaled,
as he always says.
The worst Hot Ones performance ever, by the way.
What's that?
Do you know Hot Ones?
Uh-uh.
Okay, if you're listening and you know, nod along. If you don't, Hot Ones is this like YouTube show where this guy interviews celebrities. The challenges they have their way up. Hot sauces and increasing levels of spice, eating chicken wings or tofu chicken wings.
Right.
If they pass the challenge, then they get a minute to plug whatever they want to plug at the end.
Okay.
When DJ Khaled was on that show, worst performance ever, he was like, oh, this stuff's so spicy. I'm going to die. It's going to kill me. And he basically said that because it was a threat to his health, he had to tap out of the challenge. Now, looking at DJ Khaled, I don't think that guy's too concerned with health. Especially when it comes to what he eats.
You throw a shade at his weight. Come on, man. That's fat shaming. So, like, I'm not... You took the story in a whole different direction. All right,
I was just
cool.
saying. Okay, anyway, back to you. Yeah, so DJ Khaled.
No fat shaming. So anyways, although he does work out a lot and never seems to lose any weight, his Snapchat was always him working out and I was like, what's going on here? Anyway, so he's promoting his new album and his persona has always been one of like hyper-positivity. But he didn't get the number one spot. Tyler, the Creator, with his new album, Eagle, which is actually really good, got the number one spot.
That is a solid album.
Solid album. And I only checked it out because of this story. I'm going to explain. So DJ Khaled released a video on his Instagram saying how, like, you know, my album, when you go outside, you hear it in the barbershops. You hear it on the radio. It ain't no mysterious album where you don't hear it nowhere. And everyone's like, is he sending shots at Tyler, the Creator's album? Because he didn't get to number one. And it was like, whoa, like, this is a person who's built their persona of positivity and just being like, because he's not really an artist per se. He hasn't got no talent. But people F with him because they're like, he's a nice guy. You know what I mean? Whatever. And it was like, wow, like, and it, at least on the Twitter community, it seemed like people were like, yo, you really did kind of ruin your reputation, and it takes a lifetime to build one, and it takes a few minutes to ruin one. Shatter. When I saw that, I was like, yo, this guy's a top hater.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know how he's always like, you know, don't let they ruin your thing. Don't let they, you know, you like, don't let they ruin, don't. He's always talking about haters, and he basically became the hater. And I was like, DJ, Khaled, come on, do better.
Wow.
I don't know what the intellectual subject is regarding this, but I was just disappointed in DJ Khaled. That's all I've got to say.
Not cool. Not cool. Also, let me see you in a blonde wig and a suit.
Yeah, Tyler, his album's decent.
You know what? Decent album. Good music videos as well. I'm partial to the occasional music video. They lure me in.
Are you an honorary member of Odd Future?
Yeah, dude, I've been watching them.
Yeah, you strike me as an Odd Future type person.
Since time. All the Turkish friends in India or of Indian origin or who just like India or Indian food or anything related to India, holla, you're getting your own space station.
Are they?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, breaking news, India plans to have its own space station in the future and conduct separate missions to study the Sun and Venus.
Wow.
This news broke on Thursday, 13th of June. What are your thoughts? Now, I'm just saying, India, it's a big country. It's got a lot massive going on. Is this a positive move for the Indian people?
I think so. I think it's indicative that the world is changing. It's not the world that me and you were born into all the way back in the 80s, given away our age here.
What do you mean? You mean the Cold War?
Yeah. No, so when we were born, like, you know, China and India were seen as impoverished nations or at least developing nations, right? And now we've got India and Asia in general just rising.
Mm.
You know, by the time, you know, our children or future generations are around, it's going to be an Asian world and we're just going to be living in it. Let's keep it 100.
The West's going to be in the shadows.
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard it said it's not the rise of Asia, it's the return of Asia, in the sense that historically Asia has had the richest GDP. I think something crazy I read, how before the British Empire colonized India, it had like the highest, the GDP of India was something crazy in terms of like output. And then they had their backs broken by empire and completely, you know, raided full of all resources and whatnot. So really, China and India are kind of returning to their quote-unquote historical rightful position. And it's how do we, as people that live in the West, adapt to that? You know, I'm just afraid that there's going to be some xenophobia. There might be some kind of Cold War type-ish, kind of what you're already seeing with China and the whole Huawei situation. But I think it represents good progress. I'm happy that they're doing a space station. I'm not one of those people that's like, why are we going to space when there's people poor? Like, you know, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can do the space stuff. The problem is, why aren't we? No, because there's still a lot of money around. You know, we have the money for that, but we also should have the money. To me, the money that's being wasted is the people that are putting in the Cayman Islands, the people that, the money that's on corruption. Like, there's so much money that can be spent on alleviating poverty that is there, that is just gets quote unquote lost somehow, you know what I'm saying, into the wrong people's hands. And the fact that we have money that's been put towards scientific advancement, I don't see that as a negative. I see that as a positive, to be honest.
But what have we gained from exploring space? Other than, like, sick films and
Apollo 13, the movie was hot. Come on.
Men in Black. No, but, by the way, there's a new Men in Black. I heard
dog rubbish, though. I was going to swear.
You can't do Men in Black without Will Smith.
Yeah, you can't do Men in Black without Will Smith.
Just no. But anyway, what have we gained from exploring space?
I feel like we've had this conversation before, and I've always just said, like, you know,
nothing.
I don't know. Yeah, nothing. You got me. No, chess move. Checkmate. No, I think there has been a lot of technological advancements that have come about because of NASA's endeavors. You know, when you're trying to do, you know, like in your life and your company, you try to do a stretch goal. You know, you might say, we're going to quadruple revenues next year. Mm. It might be completely unrealistic. But in order for you to get there, you're going to invent and do a whole bunch of new stuff that you haven't done before to get there. And the same with space. Like, right now, if we say we're going to go to Mars, it's pretty much technically impossible with the tech that we have now. Mm. But the innovations that it's going to spur is going to enable that to kind of trickle down into the rest of the economy. In fact, you know, things like the internet, this is not related to the space program, but the internet was developed by government programs that people would have said, why is this relevant? Like, why are we developing this internet thing? How is it going to, you know, impact our lives? And then 50 years later, hey presto, the whole economy is pretty much going to run off it. So I'm anything innovation based, I'm pro. Like, I can't see the con. And it also inspires the next generation of engineers. Like, Do you see what I'm saying? If we're thinking big, then you're going to get big people coming up doing big things. That's what that's how I see it.
I just feel like it's a very expensive way to do it. But, you know, let's watch this space. When is the African space station coming?
It's going to probably be South Africa or Nigeria. Come on, Nigeria.
Wakanda?
No. Can we not bring up Wakanda every time we talk about Africa now? It's the film is
about to.
No, because there's real African countries now. Come on, okay, let's talk about the real places.
Yeah, okay. Like,
Nigeria. Come on, Nigeria's gonna is got.
We got monies.
You got a lot of monies.
We can make it happen. Actually, maybe South Africa.
South Africa is probably. Yeah, maybe South Africa. Or maybe, why can't there be a Pan-African NASA, like, in Africa? Now we're thinking.
Yes.
Now we're thinking. All right, cool. Let's leave it at that. So, while we were away, my boy Sean Carter, a.k.a. Jay-Z, became a billionaire with a B. You didn't mishear me. Forbes basically announced that, you know, based off their projections of his assets, he's hit the one point, not just, he hasn't just made it, he's gone past it, he's like 1.1 something billion.
Wowzers.
And the interesting part of it is that his music catalog only made up 75 million. So the rest of his net worth was completely based off ventures that he did outside of the music industry. He actually has a $70 million stake in Uber, which is confirmed. It's not the fake $300 million Beyonce one, unfortunately, that we all thought. Tidal, it's like 100 plus million.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of other investments that he's got. He's got his
2020 Club.
No, I don't think that's a good one. He's got the Roc Nation, which is kind of like his management music arm, his record label, whole bunch of other stuff. And it's just like, yeah, congrats, Jay, man. Now,
invite us to the party.
Is there anything?
Oh, now he can afford to sponsor Tekish as well.
He could have done it a while ago. He's just being tight. Come on, Jay, open up the bag.
We could be the first $1 billion podcast.
What do you think? What do you think about it? Does it say anything to you?
Like, yeah, it says we need more black billionaires.
Do we?
Yeah.
Do you think if
you
we had?
You and I.
Yeah.
Next on the list, we're edging ever closer. We got 3 more patrons last week.
I'm happy for Jay. Don't get twisted, and I think you're right. There probably does need to be a few more black billionaires, but I do feel like, you know, and I have the same energy for all billionaires.
Okay.
So I'm not just bringing this up because of Jay. I just don't think it necessarily means as much as we think it does in terms of the masses of people. Like,
who's gonna change?
Yeah, it's not really gonna change anybody else's life apart from Jay's. Like, do you see what I'm saying?
The irony is that he's now in the Illuminati. You know what I mean? So now he's got, that's how I see it. What I see is he's got a seat at the table, pyramid.
Right. Yeah.
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 And now global influence and power.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, Jay, he's done a lot. He's pushing a lot of work with criminal justice reform.
He
teamed up with Meek Mill and a few other like billionaires to kind of push an agenda to kind of reform. I forgot the name of the initiative. So listen, Jay as an individual, I can't knock Jay. I'm sure, and I think they even used to like bail out a lot of Black Lives Matter activists on a download. Like, so I'm not knocking Jay as a person. I'm happy that, you know, this has happened. I think on a business level, if you want to get lessons, diversification, he took money from the music industry that probably wasn't as lucrative and put it into other investments. I think as an artist now, you're going to have to be an entrepreneur really to get what's rightfully yours really and truly kind of thing. So I can give many business tips and I think I might focus on that because I don't want to get too depressed in terms of like what the general economic trend for like the masses of black people kind of thing are at the moment.
Yeah, he's an outlier.
He's an outlier. But what can we learn from the outlier?
What can we learn? I wonder if he still has 99 problems or if he has...
Listen, when you got money... Problems are low. Problems are little. I take that back. I think when you got money,
Biggie, man. More money, more problems.
It's true.
When is there gonna be like the black like Koch brothers? You know what I mean?
Who's that?
Like,
you mean the Koch brothers?
Yeah.
I was
doing like German pronunciation.
KOCH. This is a whole other podcast, boy. What are you on?
How do you pronounce it?
It's Koch brothers.
Well, but it's KOCH. I always thought it was like Koch or something. Am I?
Please stop.
Okay. The Koch brothers.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about old money kind of, you know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah.
When are we going to get the black billionaires that are like that? That's what I want to tap into.
So what do you mean by that? So the Koch brothers are known.
Generational wealth.
They are notorious for funding political campaigns and for financing things that fit
and
their agenda.
And for being hella rich.
Yeah.
I don't know what the origins of their family
it's
are.
It's oil, I think. Oil.
It's just some old, like they were the first people to struck oil in America or
they
whatever.
They got it from daddy. I don't know when. I mean.
That's what we need.
You think
Blue
so?
Blue Ivy,
yeah.
If you're listening,
yeah,
keep
real.
A hold of that.
Yeah.
Don't get distracted. Invest wisely. Invest. Same for the twins. What are the twins called?
I can't remember anymore.
Anyway, there's hope for the future now. Maybe they'll fund the space program.
Maybe.
The Pan-African space program. Let's bring them back. Bring back the diaspora. Hey everyone, Abadesi here, one of the hosts of Techish Podcast. This is just a little shout out to tell you about our Patreon page. Starting from as little as $5 a month, you can turn your fandom into cashdom by supporting the Techish mission. Go onto patreon.com/techish and subscribe now. Big news. If I said Challenger Bank, what name would you think of?
Yeah, Monzo. Boom. Or first guess in.
Pink debit card or, yes, orange depending on how you look at it. I see pink. Some people say orange.
Yeah.
Anyway, unicorn company, unicorn valuation.
Based out of London,
over 2 million users heading to the US. What do you think? Are they going to succeed?
You know what? I don't know enough about the state of banking in the States. That's my only problem, like, because I think what they've done here has been tremendous. Like, you know, they're so efficient. Like, you tap something to spend, and then you get that notification on your phone straight
right away.
And you just, like, immediately you can travel and you can use it without getting charged and stuff like that. It's really sick. Yeah, no fees. So it's a really cute and, like, amazing product. I actually used to work next to them when I worked in White Bear Yard in East London, which is kind of like our tech hub. And it was a great team then, and I'm sure it's an even better team now. I'm sure they've grown leaps and bounds. Yeah, it's good for them. I don't know what the chances are. I mean, you're familiar with the product. You probably use it more than me. Like,
yeah, it's different.
And you spend more time in the States as well. So what do you think?
I feel like fintech innovations in the US are already a bit more advanced than, like, over here. I don't know if that's to do with regulations or structures, because sadly I'm not an expert on this. But certainly what drew people to Monzo was the UI and just the ease of use and, you know,
yeah,
so many little things, transferring money to friends in instance, being able to set little budgets and little pots on your phone so you get a notification, you're spending too quickly on eating out, you're spending too quickly on transport. It's not very often we've seen things go that way. You know what I mean? Usually
right.
Something dominates in the US, starts expanding in Europe, starting in London. It's not that often we see
the
London-based
reverse.
Startups going to the US. That said, Flume, flower delivery, online flower delivery, raised its seed round earlier this year, led by First Minute Capital. They started here in London originally.
Right.
They've now expanded to, I think, over 5 cities in the US over this year.
Nice.
Monzo are now heading that way. I also saw that another fintech company, Emma, which is kind of like a personal budgeting, personal finance manager, bought similar to Plum, also expanding to US. So maybe this is the trend now. You know, maybe there is unique innovation happening here.
Right.
That isn't happening over there.
Maybe. I mean, London is known for the fintech. It's interesting what you say there, because, yeah, I can't think of that many other London-based startups that have gone over and done their thing in the States. I know a lot of British founders that are doing things in the States, but they just upped and left and went to kind of...
bye.
They just went, they're like, bye, I'm off, I'm going to Silicon Valley and whatnot. And, yeah, I wish them luck. Did you watch When They See Us?
Ava DuVernay, love her, but I gotta wait on that. You tell me about it. I'm gonna watch it when I'm more emotionally strong.
But this is the thing, that's the point. I haven't seen it either, but I've had a chance to watch it. I'm like, I don't want to watch it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you know what, man, I'm tired. Like, I know the fuckery, but it's too emotionally punishing to watch that kind of stuff, especially when it's like there's barely a silver lining. And I'm familiar with the story, and I knew the story beforehand of Central Park 5. So I'm just like, how badly do I want to watch somebody's lives or the lives of young people just go to shit and just be reminded and depressed at how bad the world can be and kind of still is?
And also how little it's changed.
And how little it's
Trump
changed.
Trump is in the White House and probably will be for another 4 years. And nah, I honestly, like, the trailer was triggering enough that I was just like, I just don't know if I can do it. Like, honestly, after watching 13th,
yeah,
I didn't sleep properly for a long time.
And I think I would prefer to the 13th, because it was so informative and it was and educational and just more, you know, that documentary style, I can kind of get on board with more, especially, you know, just the way, the manner of storytelling. But when it's just visceral, emotional
personal storytelling,
where you can put yourself in that position and say, this is me, I'm that character. It's like, no, I can't do it. The only thing is, I do want to support Ava DuVernay. So, like, I've heard people on Twitter just have been like, yeah, I just press play and just walk over my laptop just so that she gets the streams. Honestly.
Yeah, or watch it in segments. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch it in sections. I'm just going to split it up. That's how I watched 12 Years a Slave.
Right.
I just did little 15-minute doses. I was like, cool, enough. I find it very difficult to separate fiction from reality. So, you know, I mean, this is reality anyway. And this isn't fiction. It's a fiction. But what I mean is, like, it's like I'm living it all over again when I'm watching it, if that makes sense. And, you know, the injustice of innocent people losing their lives in prison and fighting for, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm so proud of the courage that she and everyone involved in the project has taken to bring this story to light and remind us of what's happened. It takes so much courage to do that, and I just hope I can find the courage to watch it.
I think Oprah has done, I think it's on Netflix, they've done like a recap where she's interviewed the original actual people of the Central Park Five. And I think I'm more inclined to watch that just so I can kind of see the ending and just see like how they're doing now and are they okay kind of thing versus just watching the trauma from day one. I just can't do it, honestly. I mean, and maybe I'm a bad person. Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't think you are. I think it's fair. But it's just so much what's
going on. Even now recently what's going on in Sudan, for example.
Yes.
And it's just like, you're powerless. I think there's a certain mental toll of watching bad things happen that you're powerless to change. And after a while, your brain can't tell the difference between what's your life and what's, you know, what's not your life. Yeah. If that makes any sense. But you feel bad because you're like, you want to
be that
person who's there.
One thing I'll say is it is difficult to change things as individuals, but what's great about this kind of work is that it brings us together as a group on a higher level to inspire collective action, and collective action can change things. As individuals, we can't change stuff, but if enough people are inspired by this to continue reforming the justice system, continue reforming for greater transparency, etc., things could change. I mean, things already have changed, and we just hope that we continue on that path.
Yo, everyone, thanks for listening to this week's Techish. That's the end of the episode. We might have a short break actually coming up, because I think Abba's going to be in SF, so it might be a few weeks until next week's episode. But we've got a whole back catalogue, a bunch of Abba's
ones.
Back catalogue to go back and listen. But in the meantime, yeah, like I said, use the hashtag Techish. We'll jump in there. And yeah, and we've got a Patreon, patreon.com/techish, if you want to support, starting as little as $5 a month. And I want to thank this week's sponsor. And yeah, catch you next week.